Good. You mean to tell me there are expectations at Kentucky?
I never knew that.
This is, you learn something every day.
So playing this kind of game that's perfect for talk show radio, if you're Mitch Barnhart, aren't the two names Billy Donovan and Brad Stevens?
They would have to be up there on my list, I would think. I mean, Donovan's name gets rumored all the time. Goodness, the jobs don't get much more plumb than Kentucky. He knows the conference.
And he was once at Kentucky.
There's also that. Why not, right? Brad Stevens, too. I mean, there's been some talk. He wanted to get out of the NBA. Now, he's never been in a situation quite like that, right? Because when he was in college, he was at Butler, where he won big. But the expectations at Butler and Kentucky obviously aren't the same universe. Donovan obviously understands it. I mean, to me, that would be the best fit. But who knows who they've got on their list. But I would have to think both those guys would be on there.
Can you think of anybody else that is even remotely close to those two as far as sizzle?
You know, off the top of my head, no. I'm trying to think of the list of college coaches who would, I guess excite the fan base like those two. Nobody's coming to mind who would leave. You know, a lot of these coaches win big where they are, and why move with if it's working. So, I mean, off the top of my head, no, I can't do much better than that.
John Beilein is also out there. To me, he's a distant third. Chris Beard would have been on the list until Texas got him. Maybe there is an obvious, maybe there is a Nate Oates, kind of deal. But I can't think of any that I would put in the Billy Donovan, Brad Stevens tier.
No, and Beilein is a name that I've heard for a while, wanted to get back into college coaching. I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head how old Beilein is. I mean, he's getting up there. That would be another thing to consider. But, yeah, I think your first two were – that's going to be hard to top, and it'll be interested to see where they would go if this even happens, and who knows if it will, right?
Yeah. Now I want to get to the LSU baseball coaching search. I'm told that over the weekend in Knoxville, Jimmy Sexton was up there, and he's the Tennessee baseball coach's agent. And I'm told that after they clinched against LSU, that there were talks concerning his contract, talks concerning stadium improvement, and what exactly they're going to do to take Lindsey Nelson to a new level. First of all, talk to me about LSU's baseball expectations, the kind of money you think they're throwing out there, and does this ever get to Tim Corbin?
Well, I think you started the list with Kentucky basketball, and I think LSU baseball would be one of the closest things in college baseball to that kind of stratosphere in terms of, what they would, what the expectations would be. So I think that they're huge. Paul Mainieri did a great job there. And frankly, I think, I'm not going to say he was underappreciated, but when you've won five or six national titles, they expect more of that. And it had been a while since he got one of those. So here we are. I mean, look, I've heard for a while Tim Corbin was a guy that LSU wanted, but wanting and getting are two different things. I mean, there's not a college program in the country that wouldn't want Tim Corbin, right? And many have tried, and all have failed so far. You know, traditionally, the way that these things have gone down, Corbin's smart, and at that school, it's been push-pull and drag them to get anything. Now, I think the climate is changing. I think the $300 million commitment is evidence of that, obviously. But let's also think about it this way. They are now in line behind football and basketball in terms of the school's priorities that they announce. And, look, some of that is probably because baseball's been updated much more recent than those others have been. But at the same time, you know, you got to get your foot in line where you can. And I think there's some things he wants with seating. Some people I've talked to have thought it's like a kind of a covered grandstand, and I would presume more seating up there. Somebody I texted with today at the booster level says that I think some maybe boxes in the way that Arkansas has them in its stadium are something he wants. I don't know the specific list of things, but you and I know Tim pretty well. And there's always a list of things in his head that he'd like. You know, frankly, I think he would like his administration to ease off some of the politics and things like that at times. You know, the COVID thing and its stance on that was ridiculous. It cost him a pitcher for a good bit of the season. It cost him a crowd. So I think you have some facilities things, and I think you also have some just let me run my program things. That he would want, and I don't think he leaves for LSU, but if Tim is smart, and he is, and this is always the way he's done it, he has taken those opportunities to better his situation, and certainly, you know, there are several things that I think in this case that he would probably like, and now is the perfect time to leverage those.
Okay, so this didn't start out feeling like a midsummer interview. We got a couple of really interesting stories. Watson, what do you got for Chris?
Vanderbilt and Tennessee both here. Am I nuts? Or it looks to me like, Chris, Vanderbilt's just had the easiest road. And with Arkansas getting knocked out, it just fell easier. I'm not saying it's a gift by any means. But, I mean, they've got Stanford, Arizona, Stanford, and NC State. I mean, that's a pretty good – if you're at the start of the season, Chris, would you not, if that was laid in front of you, wouldn't you have jumped at that and said, let's go?
Yeah, I mean, I would – look, they could have gotten a tougher regional. Certainly Arkansas could have been in there, or a tougher part of the bracket. But, look, nothing is easy. And I've seen much easier in Omaha. Like, a couple of years ago, you had Michigan in there with a path that included Texas Tech, Florida State, and Auburn. Frankly, Auburn was not in the class of teams that usually get to Omaha. And I would say that Florida State wasn't either. I think this year these are all Omaha-caliber teams in their own way. I mean, State was the two seed that probably everybody looked at, you know, on that very short list of two seeds you don't want in their regional. Arkansas found out about that and how that went. So there's that. You know, Arizona can hit the heck out of the ball, too. I mean, I watched them against Ole Miss. They can go the other way with things. That's always tough to pitch to. They scored a ton of runs. I think they led the country in scoring. Some of that, sure, was their ballpark, but that's a good hitting team. And then you got Stanford, which is red hot, and you got two really good starters and a decent lineup. I don't think it's easy by any stretch. I think it's tougher than a lot of years, the bracket that you can get in Omaha. But certainly, if you said, whose would you rather have? I would rather have Vanderbilt than the one Tennessee is playing in, which I would sort of call the pedigree bracket, where all those teams have been there before, and, you know, State's the one that's not won it, but it's been there a bunch. And, you know, I wouldn't want any part of Texas's pitching if I had a choice. And, you know, Virginia's got an ace that Tennessee will see in game one. Yeah, I don't think it's easy, but of the two paths, I'd rather have Vandy's.
Do you feel there is a good shot that Tennessee and Vanderbilt could come out of both of these sides and play each other, or are you not as strong on one of those two?
My pick from the beginning of the tournament was Vandy and Texas to meet in the finals. I'm going to stick with that. Nothing has really changed my mind other than I would say Texas didn't play quite as well as maybe I thought it would. Texas, man, Texas had about as an easy a path to Omaha as I've ever seen a team get. And look, Texas is a great team. It's earned everything it's gotten, but you know that didn't exactly hurt. For Tennessee, I think Tennessee, in my mind, is the second best team in that bracket. But, you know, the matchups, I'm not crazy about. They got Virginia's ace in game one. You look at him, and he pitched, I will say, on a rocker and lighter level, but pretty close. I mean, he struck out, 150 guys in 100 innings without having it in front of me. You know, that's what you absolutely do not want in game one, and that's what Tennessee got. Then you get to game two, and Texas, I'm going to say, has probably got the deepest pitching staff of any team in this tournament. So you get that in game two where pitching starts to wear down. I'm not sure how much it drops off for Texas. There's two discussions. One, there's how good is the team, and B, there is who are you playing, and just to me, and not that Tennessee can't get through it, right, because they can, but that is exactly not what I would have wanted if I were the Vols, or anybody for that matter.
I guess we've got to go quick here, right, George, on this last
Got about
thing.
2 minutes.
Okay. Vanderbilt, are you concerned a run scored in the Super Regional against East Carolina? Was that just great pitching on East Carolina's part? Or are you a little bit concerned about that? And quickly, the second piece, as long as we stay in the winner's bracket, we should be okay, correct? Because if you get to the finals – our top two guys are two of the three games, so we have got to stay in the winner. Everybody does, but we just cannot get in the loser's bracket with our pitching depth. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think they can. I think they've got a lot more depth. I know people look at Rocker and Leiter. I still think their pitching depth after those guys stacks up pretty well to most teams not named Texas. So I still think they could lose a game in there and still get out of it. But, you know, certainly your chances drop off a lot. In terms of runs scored, I'm a little concerned. It wasn't just the Super Regional. And granted, they faced one probably first-round pitcher, and that's what first-round pitchers do. But I think you go back a little further. They didn't hit the ball maybe as well against Kentucky as you would have liked to seen them do in the final regular season series. They didn't hit the ball exceptionally well in Hoover. They hit it pretty well in the regional, but they also weren't facing great pitching. Yeah, I'm a little concerned, but I do think still they've got enough given their arms.
George?
Chris, who knew? Mid-June? Lazy, hazy days of summer, and all of a sudden, a bombshell or two.
There's always stuff to talk about.
No kidding. Thank you for doing this, as always.
You bet. Thank you.
Chris Lee, Vandy.